Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Nerdy Times. With me always is Corey.
Hello.
Hi, awesome. Everybody. we've forgotten.
Yeah.
How to, you know, podcast and live and,
on a regular basis.
Yeah. Well, I guess this is as good a time as any. You know, I never edited the last podcast we did either.
You never put it up?
No.
That's
so
amazing.
So probably next week will be archive cast.
Oh, Jesus.
Or maybe it'll go out midweek as a supplementary podcast. I figured I'd wait until we were on the air before I admitted to that. So, Corey, would you like to introduce the newest member of the podcast?
Ozzy the dog.
Hi, Ozzy. Ozzy is a pug.
Ozzy is a pug. He's my new 13-year mistake. Average lifespan of a pug is 13 years. I thought I wanted a dog.
Uh-huh.
And this is what I got.
You've been married about 13 years, right?
Uh-huh.
So there you go. You know, every 13 years.
Every 13 years, I got to make a new 13-year mistake. And that is Ozzy the dog.
So if you hear any weird yips or Corey making
yelling
sudden...
at the dog.
We'll try not to make it the Kevin Smith, Shecky,
I don't know. That sounds like a really good thing. Shecky's probably the most popular dachshund on the internet, so.
Aww. All right. So since we're getting back into the swing of podcasting and it's, you know, March.
Right.
You know, so in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, Comic-Con.
Two weeks from
Saint
this
Louis.
Friday.
Comic-Con St. Louis starts.
Yeah. So by the time you listen to this, it'll probably be three weeks after. Comic-Con.
Corey, are you implying that I don't edit the podcast ever?
You just admitted to it live on the air. Or not live, but...
Yeah. No. Recorded. See, the people at home won't know about that because I'm going to edit that part out.
Oh, okay.
It's just going to be you impugning my honor.
That's right. So...
So, yeah, no, I will try to edit tonight or, you know, morning.
Or tomorrow
afternoon. Next week. Or... Three weeks after the con. So anyway...
You can do it when you go to Florida for your vacation.
Oh, God. What? Well, if we need to podcast from Florida. Uh-huh. That'll be an awesome... It'll be a Dan angry cast.
The Pin Hunter. You can make it a whole show. Maybe get your own reality series.
I have a sash, and it'll be the molars of the teeth I removed from the people I traded the pin. Like, oh, Andrew, now I have to make a tooth. So anyway, St. Louis Comic-Con's coming.
Yep.
And this is going to be a big... So last year we were excited we were even getting a Comic-Con. And, you know, it was awesome. We had Inara from Serenity, and we had Stan Lee, and...
Billy D. Williams,
and Lou Ferrigno. There were a number of people. You know, we all went to the panels and shopped and spent more money than we should have, and it was awesome.
Right.
So this year is... And I think one of the things is that, you know, we heard even while we were there that the people that run Comic-Con were so impressed with the St. Louis community and in the attendance. And they go, we were at the point they expect the con to be at 2 or 3 or 5 years down the road. We hit it first year.
Right.
And it really shows, like, this year, not only, you know, when we started, there was already a big name list. We were getting William Shatner.
Right.
Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, they had quite a number of people on here. Just to go through the list of the things, the current up-to-date mm-hmm. list, they have Nathan Fillion.
Yep, who was added a couple of weeks ago. And if you were following us on the Facebook page on the Nerdy Times, you would have known about this almost before anyone else did. I one of the people I follow on Twitter had like leaked it.
Yeah.
And then it was officially announced like that next day. So we had a little bit of a scoop.
Yeah. So Nathan Fillion is going to be there Saturday and Sunday. Karen Gillan was just added.
Mm-hmm.
You know, played Amy on Doctor Who. She's going to be Nebula in the new
best
Guardians
companion
of the Galaxy.
Ever.
She is the best companion ever. Oh, jeez. I'm probably going to be removed from Comic-Con just from standing across the table and drooling.
Well, don't worry. They have
Ozzy,
guards.
I'm going to kill you. If anybody would like a plug, please email info@nerdytimes.com.
And then we'll also send you a pug.
Yeah. For a free pizza roll to anyone who comments to this podcast.
No, not the pizza rolls. Anyway, William Shatner, the aforementioned William Shatner.
Right.
What we got? Run DMC?
You got DMC from Run DMC.
Uh-huh. He's making comics now, isn't he?
Yeah, Sean Astin from Lord of the Rings and the Goonies. You got...
Come here. Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Milo Ventimiglia. I can't even pronounce his name. Mm-hmm. Who was in Heroes. He was in Rocky Balboa. That's my boy. You got Burt Ward and Adam West. Burt Ward, I think, has the highest priced autograph at the convention at over $100. Ralph Macchio from The Karate Kid. Alan Tudyk from Serenity and Firefly.
Which I'm very excited about the number of Firefly people we're getting.
Right. Eliza Dushku from Buffy. Angel, True Lies, Bring It On, Dollhouse, Jay and Silent Bob. She's been in everything. I love her. There's two women that are going to have me forcibly removed from the con. John Berthnall or Bernthal from Walking Dead, The Wolf of Wall Street, Grudge Match, Jason David Frank from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. You got Robert Knepper from Prison Break, Hitman, Transporter 3, Star Trek. Sean Patrick Flannery from Boondock Saints 1 and 2. Lou Ferrigno plus a cavalcade of stars.
Randy Orton.
Of artists coming, you know. Oh, you also have, I think, Chris Jericho is going to be there. You're going to have Ted Raimi is going to be there. There's more. I know there is. Let me scroll through all this mess. I mean, there's just tons of people. Sarah Underwood, who was on Attack of the Show, House Bunny. She's a big cosplayer.
You mentioned sexy Kaylee. Girl.
Kaylee's not going to be there.
Actually, who's going to be there then? Who? There was somebody. There was three. There was, am I right? Am I crazy?
Yeah, you have, what's her name? Summer Glau from
Summer Glau, yeah. That's right.
She's going to be there as well. Chris Jericho. Yeah, every time we came on here, they're going to have Manu Bennett, who is in The Hobbit, Arrow, Spartacus, and 30 Days of Night. You know, but they just keep, you know, like, Amy Pond is the Karen Gallant is the newest one that they've just actually Manu Bennett is, but like, she was added just like a week ago, and you know, it just seems to just keep getting better and better. I don't know if they're putting all their eggs in one basket or whatever, but it's going crazy. And I'm gonna kill my dog, so I'm gonna pause this for a minute. Hold on. All right, Ozzy is dead.
Aww, that's a shame. Oh well.
That jingling you hear, the chains rattling of his ghost.
Yep. Just like your wife. So you get rid of all your 13-year mistakes.
Yes. Every 13-year mistake I've ever made.
Anyway, Comic-Con, Corey.
Yeah, Comic-Con.
Focus. Put your game face on.
Yeah. No, they have the captain has arrived on Shatner's thing.
I know.
But I don't feel that he arrived.
I was going to say, he has arrived.
Nathan Fillion was the captain.
But it's not Shatner.
No. But it's going to be 3 days, April 4th, 5th, and 6th. Mm-hmm. If you're anywhere near the St. Louis area, it's well worth your money. Oh, yeah.
And not only is it celebrities, it's panels, and there's going to be plenty of ways to spend your money, and collectibles, and Corey and I are in deep discussions to whether we're going to spend our money to get Nathan Fillion's autograph, and we're each conjuring up
if
our
I
own
decide
ways.
To do it, I'm getting all three of their autographs.
You have to. You might as well.
Yeah.
We'll
I have an original Serenity 3 theatrical poster.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So
what did we figure out? Was that $180 bucks for all three?
$174. Alan Tudyk is the kindest of the three. We had a $35 autograph. And then Summer Glau is $40, and Nathan Fillion's is $99. And I thought 99 was kind of extreme until Burt Ward, I think, topped him out. And like his is like $140.
Well, you know, good old Burt.
But anyway, I got the VIP experience for Bruce Campbell, which I think was in the last podcast. But being is that you've never posted the last podcast.
It'll be in a future podcast.
Yeah, we've talked, we discussed that, and Dan thought I was a little psycho for getting a
little bit.
But just to kind of reiterate this thing,
recap.
Who knows if the other podcasts will ever make it out or this one? They could all be found in some post-apocalyptic future, and they'll be trying to piece together what order they went in. Like there'll be some. Amazing.
Yeah, we're gonna be the Rosetta Stone of
the human race. So
anyway, well, human race is doomed.
Yeah, But anyway, it was $199 mm-hmm. for a VIP experience, for most of the VIP experiences. Most of the VIPs are going to be there 2 days.
Yep.
Shatner's is a little more expensive. I think it was $250 mm-hmm. Or something like that.
Yeah, Shatner's for a while, I think, was the most expensive. Yeah. And then Nathan Fillion's is more.
Up. His is $320.
And I think...
$320, I think.
Yeah.
And then for... Karen Gallant, it's $265.
Which you know, if you go by length of time at con, is the most expensive.
Yeah,
one.
She's there one day for like.
Well, she's there for like 4 hours.
Yeah, 6 hours or something. I was like, holy Nikes! They, yeah. they're really hitting you hard on that.
But
one.
I will say, dude, a little is like Matt Smith is going to be at the Louisville
Con with Karen Gallant,
which is the weekend before ours here. Right. And so I'm sort of hoping that, you know, maybe they can strike a deal with him to get him to show up for like a day. Not that I'm going to get his autograph. I just think it'd be cool if he was here. You know, yeah. he is one of those people. I think I said in the Lost podcast, I didn't really care that much. He would be one. He'd be the exception to the rule where I'd be like, oh, it'd be cool to have Matt Smith there.
Yeah. Yeah, they put a ton of them in there this year, and mm-hmm. I'm almost kind of interested what they think they could do next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you really hit some nerd high points, you mm-hmm. know. You got Shatner, Bruce Campbell, and Nathan Fillion. Then you've got quite a few of, like, the nerd babes with, like, uh-huh. you know, Liza Dushku and... You know, some
And it's funny because we were talking about this before we started the podcast that typically the Wizards World Comic Cons, there's Chicago and the Philly Cons are their two big cons for this.
Right.
Like when they're going to have all the stars somewhere, it's those two. And it seems like St. Louis is filling like a second tier there, like where it's like they're getting almost everyone here.
Right.
So I don't know whether they're hoping to fill out St. Louis as like another city where they get a lot of the celebrities. You know, we are kind of the pop, you know, and like the center of the pop, you know, the pop population.
Right.
There's a lot of people.
See, what'll happen
is
it'll get really popular here, then they'll move it to Kansas City.
Well, that's true. That's what everything
does. Because that's what everything's done here. It's just like, oh, all the concert people used to come to St. Louis, and now they all go to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Which sucks. You know. They can't do both. They make twice as much money.
No.
So
poor Kansas City.
Fuck Kansas City.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. Fuck Kansas City.
They got. Well, what I don't like is they got Google Fiber. I want Google Fiber. I don't want to move to Kansas City. Nothing against Kansas City. I just don't want to live there.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we're both exceedingly excited about this con.
Yeah.
Huh?
And there's quite a few things mm-hmm. the VIP experiences give you if that's what you're going in for. If you're only going for a day, it's a little...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, if you're only going for a day, you can get deals on Groupon. Yeah, I posted them a couple times on the Facebook page, and I'll link it to the show notes, but then I'll try to put the Groupon on there one more time before the con.
And I think I'm going to go all 3 days. There are so many people that are going to be there that I almost don't know how you're going to get through. You could, because like Karen Gallant's not going to be there till Sunday, mm-hmm. and I wonder if she'll have a panel of her own.
Yeah. Well, even Nathan Fillion, he was a late ad, and he's only going to be there like Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Like he's going to show up Saturday evening.
And he's going to be there Sunday.
And then Sunday. So he's kind of only there a day and a half.
Right. And I'm just wondering when they're going to have, they don't have any of that information up, any of the schedules and panels and all that stuff. So planning out your day is going to be really...
You're going to have to wait till the last second to do it.
Right.
I have a feeling like the week of, they're going to release all that information. But as we discussed in the Lost podcast, the America Center is a pretty big place. And even like last year, they were only using a small portion of it. You know, right. It's not big compared to like, you know, a Chicago or you know, Vegas. But it's like the America Center is a large convention center, so there is more room that they can expand into.
Yeah, and I think that the one thing that's going to be this year is you're going to have to plan your time.
Yeah.
It's with so many big panels that you can just foresee. I could see them putting all the Firefly Serenity people into mm-hmm. one panel.
Yeah.
I don't know about Eliza Dushku, because she had another cast member there, but then now that guy's not there anymore.
Yeah.
But I don't know, you know, where that she'll be. Mm-hmm. But she's got her own VIP experience mm-hmm. too. So
well, and I think the St. Louis Comic Cons is quickly hit the point where you're gonna have to decide what type of con you want. If you want I'm gonna meet the celebrities con, that's pretty much what you're gonna wind up doing. If you want man, I really want to go to all the artists and do all the artist stuff, that's pretty much what you're going to be doing.
Right.
You know, if you want, you know, like, I'm going to go to all these panels and do, like, all these workshop stuff, that's, you know, I think it's still small enough. You can do a little bit of some of the other things, but you're going to have to decide what is most important to you and do that.
Right.
If you want to do everything, if you're going to be a completist. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I know you're looking forward to it. I know Tina's looking forward to it. I know, yeah. Ozzy, the ghost of Ozzy the dog's looking forward to it.
Ozzy ain't going.
Oh,
evil dog.
He is. I know.
You know we're talking about you.
Well, I don't know. That's he's right. all calm now. You know, he's a ghost. Yeah. So. All right, Corey. So what was next on our if we finish the Comic-Con?
Comic-Con, yeah, that's the real big deal.
That's kind of the thrust of it.
We were going to talk about some Kickstarters.
Star Wars. That was the other thing. I knew, yeah, I had something Star else. Wars. So if you were on our Facebook page, you would know, and you may know this anyway, but I posted on the Facebook page.
Stop
that,
pimping it, Dan. Nobody goes there.
You just know what? Us. We have 31 likes, damn it. Uh-huh. And I want you to know that some of our posts get hundreds of views.
Okay.
Tell you, Corey. Anyway, so Netflix now has all of the Star Wars Clone Wars cartoons, including the missing season. Like, the last season was, like, they only did, like, six of the planned episodes because Disney bought Lucas, and they were like, "Yeah, we're not going to continue this on." They're now doing something else. Star Wars Rebels is like the next thing coming out, which may have some of the same characters in it, but it's going to be set farther in the future.
It's going to be set in between episodes 3 and 4.
Yeah. Yes. So,
which is ironically where the live action TV series that they were talking about so long, mm-hmm. where that was going to be set.
Yeah, I think the one became the other. And while I'm not, you know, I'm not overly excited for Rebels, I was very excited for Clone Wars. You know, I'd watched the first season, I watched it when it first came out, and I was very impressed with it at the time. I thought it was really good, particularly after the clunkers that were the first two movies. Like, compared to the first two movies, the TV show was like a step up.
Yeah.
Now, watching the first season again, you know, another four or five years into the future... Like, Corey and I were having this discussion beforehand, too. It's like, some of the episodes there were a couple episodes I really loved. And one of them I still really liked. The second one, I liked the episode, but the ending with the Jedi really annoyed me. And that's almost what I'm getting to the point with these now, is like, the ones that are more clone trooper focused, I'm really loving. The ones that are based on the Jedi are sort of, are not good. It's like, and Tina even pointed out, the dialogue is horrible. And it is, which is a trademark of the current, you know, Lucas Star Wars, is crappy, dialogue.
Yeah, the prequels were riddled with bad dialogue,
with bad
poor
acting,
and
just bad direction.
Yeah, everything was poor. You know, one of the guys that there was a when they released Episode 3's soundtrack, mm-hmm. they released a DVD that came with it that had like music videos done up mm-hmm. for all the movies and like big pieces of music and mm-hmm. all that stuff. And they said, you know, say what you will about George Lucas as a person, director, mm-hmm. he is a very visual director. And there was, and they said, you know, his, like, you could see all these things kind mm-hmm. of
through, when people you watch these videos were not, or whatever. Not talking, everything was much, much better.
Yeah, it was way better. I tell you the truth. It's like, I don't want to be too excited for another Star Wars movie. I know J.J. Abrams is doing it,
mm-hmm.
and I liked what he did with, like, the first Star Trek movie. The second one is not bad. It's okay. Yeah,
it's okay.
It's got its flaws, for sure.
It's fine.
Yeah, but...
Which, you know what? If we could get a Star Wars movie where I went, oh, you know, it's fine, that would be an improvement over what the previous, you know, the previous three, the prequels were.
I just kind of wonder what direction they're going to take that new movie.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly almost don't want any of the original characters in it.
No, I don't either.
I don't want to see old Han Solo. I don't want to see old Princess Leia.
Yeah, we need to make a definite break.
You know, now maybe old Luke, mm-hmm. just to kind of bring on the new Jedi Order or something, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Maybe Luke is, like, not so much Luke as Yoda, but in that Yoda role where he's kind of the old,
right.
Like, passing, you know, like you were saying, passing the torch, where he's, right. like, oh, you know, 200 years, you look as good as, you know. Yeah.
But I don't need to see old Chewbacca or anything else.
Well, depending on what happens, you won't, because they killed Chewbacca in like one of the books.
Well, Lucas threw out all the continuity of the books.
Well, Disney is now going through and redoing the continuity again. So apparently there's a lot of flux. It's like a lot of the books, some of the canon, like some of the stuff that had been considered canon is now getting, because Disney wants to take it all a different direction. And so they're weeding out the things that are not going to fit this new direction.
Right.
Which, you know, on the one hand, I'm like going good, because there's some things in there that didn't need to be in there.
Right.
And the other hand, it's sort of like, it's the same problem I had with Star Trek. It's like, really? You know, can't you work within the framework that's already there? But anyway, what I was going to say, to bring it back to the Clone Wars, if you haven't watched them, you should. You know, they are a children's cartoon, so there is some things in there that are more like, all right, it's for kids. There are a couple of episodes where I'm like, whoa, this was for kids?
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple, like, particularly one of my favorites is, like, the clone troopers. It's, like, these four brand new clone troopers are just out of the clone trooper school, and they're manning some sort of outpost, and they get attacked, and then it's like, you know, they have to, you know, they have this, I think the reason I like it is I was like, it has all the tropes of a good war movie. It's like, you've got the new guy, and he's got to, like, earn his stripes, and then you have, like, you know, somebody has to fall on a grenade, and you have all this, you know, this real trauma and drama kind of going on, where it's like, these guys are up against it, and, you know, they're overwhelmed, and they're trying to, you know, make it go. It's like, whenever you have episodes with the Jedi, it's like, oh, well, how are the Jedi going to use their powers to get through this? I guess I never feel the Jedi are in that much danger.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's one of my biggest gripes about the whole what happened to the Jedi is they went from being like, I guess, paladins to superheroes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because if you take like a D&D paladin, you know, they can heal somebody. They can have a holy protection. You know that, you know, they can extend to like their friend or whatever, people close to them. They can do, you know, they have a little bit more divine favor, and that's kind of how I looked at the Jedi Knights. You know, they have the ability to manipulate the Force, to guide them, and to do all these things. And then, you know, now they're friggin' folding planets, they're yanking Destroyers out of the sky, and they're, you know, absorbing laser blasts. Pretty soon you're going to see somebody down on a planet who's a rogue Jedi, and a Death Star ray is going to go off, and he's going to go, and he's going to hold his hand up, and he's going to absorb all the Death Star ray, and then he's going to fire it back, and he's going to blow up the Death Star.
It's power creep. It's like everything, the next thing has to be a little more powerful than the previous thing to make it exciting. Right. And the trouble is that is not the only method to make things exciting, but that's the method they've chosen.
Yeah, and I tell you the truth, it's like when I, you know, everybody was all excited for the Old Republic game that was out, the new one that was worth online. And they were like, oh, you gotta watch the trailer. And I watched the trailer, and it was these Sith Lords and a couple other people and it's just like, you know, there were grenades going off in people's hands and they were living, and people pulling themselves out of the sides of mountains. It was just like, whatever. It's like, I didn't care. I just, when the characters are, okay, because the thing is, they're not superheroes. You know, if you watch the original Star Wars movies, Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader are far from, you know, Superman and, you know, Doomsday. They are not, you know, ripping apart the Death Star to fight each other. They're fencing.
Yeah.
You know, and in the first movie, is poor fencing at best.
Well,
yeah. And, you know, but they could sense something was going on. Yeah. And they, you know, but like, they you know, they weren't, you know, Obi-Wan didn't fold space around the Millennium Falcon to hide them from the Death Star sensors. And
which, you know, now, like, would have been something he should have been able to do. Well, he should have been like, wait, you know, and hidden the ship from, you know, even some of the books, they go, you know, Yoda should have been, like, the way they describe Yoda, he should have been able to live on Coruscant in the same apartment tower as the Emperor and never be discovered.
Let's take away the fact that the Death Star had to fly around one of the Yavin moons to blow up Yavin. But that's, you know, there's no reason that Darth Vader should not have just gone, hold on a second,
let me move that moon out of the way.
And just push the orbit of that moon out of the way. It was going to be screwed anyway once they blew up Yavin, so who gives a care where that moon goes?
Yeah.
You know, you know, you had told me that, like, you know, Darth Vader had, like, folded space around the planet.
Yeah, around his, like secret home or whatever. And,
you know, and it's just like, it just becomes, it's like, to the point where it's like, I don't care. It's like, if you're going to have a story around these characters, it should be solely around those characters, mm-hmm. and they should be super heroic, and mm-hmm. nobody should be on the level of them.
Well, the problem is the original films, like, the, you know, four, five, six, were based on the hero's journey. That was supposed to be the hero's journey, and then, like, and then the first three, like, then one, you know, one, two, and three, just sort of became, oh, we can throw special effects and have people jumping around. Yeah, that works.
Yeah,
it's like they completely let go of this, of the Anakin hero's journey and the Luke hero's journey, and kind of just went for, oh, Jedi are cool, let's show more Jedi. It's like, I would have loved to have more of the mate of Mace Windu really see him, you know. Instead you had all this flippy around. I'm like,
see, what I almost kind of saw was, like, the way things were in, like, Highlander.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically the Highlanders were, like, the Jedi Knights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, like, when McCloud meets the mm-hmm. other guy.
The Kurgan.
No, not the Kurgan. Oh. His friend. The
Salim.
Castiel or whoever. Castiel,
yeah.
Yeah. He meets him on the bridge, and there was some, like...
Yeah.
There was some history between the characters, and they were laughing, they were having a good time. And it's like, you know, they were talking about all these old times past mm-hmm. and everything. It was like, that's almost kind of how I saw the Jedi Knights, where they were few and far between. And mm-hmm. the ones that knew each other, you know, there was a camaraderie and there was a deepness to their relationship. And taking on somebody like a Padawan
mm-hmm.
or whatever was a rarity, you know. Yeah. And, you know, you had to basically know that you were worthy of it. And just... These are things that prequel movies just they turned them into a friggin' business.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, I'm sorry, but the board doesn't believe that Anakin would be a good asset to invest in at this time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, a child conceived of the Force,
mm-hmm.
you know, not worthy of our attention. Yeah. Sure, let's brush that under the rug.
And here's the thing is like, he was so, like, they were worried about training him because he'd be too dangerous.
Right.
Then they sent him back out with Qui-Gon. I'm like, why wasn't it like, oh no, he's too dangerous, he's gonna stay here with us. We're not gonna train him, but we're gonna find something for him to do here.
Let's put him with Yoda, who can keep an eye on that crap. He's the strongest one next to him.
Or Mace Windu, or one of these guys they've set up to be the most powerful and, like, irresponsible and all this. Right. It's like, no, go back out with Qui-Gon and, like, have him sort of teach you the Force, and then, you know, I agree. And then the thing is like, what do you do with all the, you know, this, we're going down the rabbit hole now, but this is the questions that come up after watching the Clone Wars stuff, is I'm going, so what do you do with the Padawans that don't make it? Like, the ones that are, two-thirds trained?
Did you ever see the 300?
Oh, the pig?
The beginning where they inspect the baby, and then they do with the Padawans that don't make it.
Okay.
You failed to pull your lightsaber into your hand for the last time. Boom, into the pit. You know, and it's just like, there's this pit of dead Padawans.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm sitting here going. It's like, so, you know, we
and
have
that's
all
where,
these...
That's where the new midichlorians come from. They grind them up and they shoot them out into space. Yeah.
Because I'm like, not only what do you do with the older Padawans that don't make it, what do you do with the kids? What do you do with an eight year old that's sort of trained in the Force? Yeah, send him back out in the world. Nothing bad's gonna come of that.
Here comes a lightsaber polisher.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, you know, no, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think the whole Jedi Order thing was very well thought out when they went back and did the prequels. You know, I really enjoyed talking about getting rid of some of the books. You know, redo it, cleaning up the storyline. I really liked some of the novels, you know, like some of the newer novels, because they had the Thrawn trilogy, where they had, you know, some of those were very well done.
Right.
You know, and some of the new Jedi Order stuff, or not the new Jedi Order, but the ones where Luke was kind of rediscovering the Jedi Order.
Right.
Some of those were very, very well done. Some of those were crap, just to be honest. But, you know, I really enjoyed some of those books, and it doesn't seem like they took anything, some of the good ideas from there when they did the prequels. They just sort of, Lucas just sort of conjured this thing up, and didn't really seem to think it all the way through, and we're just going to throw a CGI Yoda in, and everything will be okay. Well,
nobody wanted to do them.
I know. Yeah, it's and I think we've had this conversation before where it's like I just preferred if they had like this is my whole thing. Every time they go, oh, we could get some more Serenity now, and I'm like, if we have to get more Serenity the same way we got like more Star Wars, I don't want more Serenity. Like, no. I'm kind of okay with the TV show and the movie if what we get new is going to be the Star Wars prequels of Serenity.
Well, I saw a thing with Nathan Fillion from, it was a panel from about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watched it, and today, as a matter of fact. And it was kind of interesting because somebody asked him the inevitable question, you know, mm-hmm. will there be more? And, you know, what do you think? And, and he's like, you know, it's fun to wish mm-hmm. and to think about what it could be. And he says, you know, but there's a lot of people out there that are not going to want to give up the opportunity to make money to let somebody else do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, but he goes, if we're just spitballing here, he says, what would you guys think about, you know, an animated series?
Yeah.
You know, you get all the original actors mm-hmm. back to do the voices. And I'm like, that would be...
See?
That'd be awesome. And it's like, you know, you could take the story in any way you wanted. You could do
mm-hmm.
13 episodes and make it season 2. And you could do mm-hmm. season 3. And you could just keep making them.
But here's the thing is, like, you need to either get Joss Whedon to do it, which I don't think now, like, I think even if he wanted to, he wouldn't have the time anymore. He's too busy.
I bet you that guy has season 2 written.
He might.
I bet you he's got more of that universe thought out than anything else.
Well, either Joss Whedon or somebody that not even somebody like Joss Whedon, but another really good director. Because I will say that has been sort of my disappointment in reading the comic books. Because Whedon, geez, where'd that come from? Joss Whedon, he was the executive producer on the comic books.
Right.
And I think his son wrote them. And while the comic books are not bad, at least the one or two so that I've read, it's like they're not. I haven't been as happy with them. Like some places they took the plot. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I would have liked something. Like I think if Joss Whedon had done it, it would have been a little different. And maybe it's the presentation was the, like maybe I would have been happier with those plot points presented a little differently. But I'm sort of, it's one of those things that kind of makes me go like, ooh, I don't know. You know,
right?
Do I really want that if it's going to kind of mess up like what I, you know, the parts of it I love, and maybe part of the reason like everyone loves Firefly and Serenity is there wasn't more of it. There's all this mystery behind it. It kind of leaves you to fill in the gaps.
The thing is, it was just it was a show that was, in my opinion, lightning in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they caught it and they had the right people playing the right parts. They had the right chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And everything about it just
mm-hmm.
just worked. Built.
Yeah.
You know, like the characters developed show to show and mm-hmm. episode to episode. And, you know, they just, there was little things that you, when you watch them, you're just like, you know, there it is. You know, mm-hmm. there's that chemistry. That's the thing that I love. That's what makes me smile. That's what makes you want to come mm-hmm. back and watch more. And, you know, there's callbacks to other things.
Mm-hmm.
And, to me, that's what makes a great show. See, the thing is, there was a story in Serenity,
mm-hmm.
or in Firefly, I should say, that started with episode 1
mm-hmm.
and was there in episode 13.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even though some of the episodes had nothing to do mm-hmm. with the overall plot, it was always there
mm-hmm.
as an underlying part of the story. And, you know, even though the story was not focused, you know, there were things that were developed.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, there's more character there now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little more insight.
Exactly.
It's like you take the character of Shepherd Book.
Mm-hmm.
Shepherd Book was a character that was the perfect example of that. There is not a single episode devoted to him.
Mm-hmm.
However, when he was in an episode, you were like, sometimes he was the kind old,
mm-hmm.
you know, preacher.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes he was a little scary.
Yeah, there's other times where they're like, you're going to let us know how you know about the crime so much. How'd you figure that out?
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's just like, you know, I wasn't always a shepherd.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, that's interesting.
What sort of ID, you know, makes the alliance go like, oh, this man needs like help this guy right now.
Yeah, and you
and let you go.
And you become intrigued by him, you become intrigued mm-hmm. by all the different characters. You know, there was some sort of strange history between Inara and Mal that
mm-hmm.
you just don't know about.
Yep.
You know, what was it?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Did they date? Were they betrothed?
Yeah.
You know, there's all sorts of strange things, and it's just like, you know, none of it ever gets really answered, but it's always just there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it built. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
And it's one of those things, like, we'll probably never really know. They are doing,
I tell you what, know, if I win Mega Millions,
yeah,
I'm going to Comic-Con. I'd be like, hey,
I got $400 million.
I got $400 million. Let's make this animated series happen.
Yeah, no shit.
I know I'm not going to get you guys all back for 13 episodes. But I can make an animated series happen.
Uh-huh. I'm gonna produce. Here we go.
That's right.
Let's go.
Let's get Josh Whedon on the phone.
That's right. Corey Trim, producer.
That's right.
That's right. All right. So I think next on my short list of things I wanted to talk about was the Indiegogo campaign I found for Inspector Space-Time.
Yeah.
So we had interviewed with Ricky. Oh,
I cannot remember.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It is. Jeez, oh, Corey.
He's a nice guy.
You don't remember everything we do? Like,
I remember. I remember talking to him.
Ricky. Or Richie.
Travis Ritchie.
So, you know, the short story is on Community, the show within a show is this Inspector Space-Time, which is a homage to Doctor Who. And it's kind of apparent. I mean, like, I've not watched very much Community, but apparently the show has, like, been featured a couple of times and kind of plays a role in some of the characters. So
what I've seen of the show, and I've seen quite a bit of Community, is that Inspector Space-Time takes up in an episode about 5 seconds.
5 seconds.
At least
some of the articles I read, he comes up occasionally.
He does.
Throughout
he
the
comes
day.
Up.
Yeah.
His name comes up occasionally, and they've shown, like, blips.
Yeah.
Like, you'll see, like, oh, it's Inspector Space-Time, and that's about all you get out of it. You know, and there's not, like, an episode devoted to him or anything, mm-hmm. at least out of what I've watched.
Yeah. Well, and that's about what I've read, too. So, but apparently, Travis Ritchie has kind of taken this character and run with it. We interviewed him at Contamination. He was doing
Comic-Con.
No, it wasn't at Comic-Con.
Kawakon.
Oh, Kawakon.
The anime convention.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know what he was there for. He was not anime, but he was there.
You know, it works. But yeah, he was there signing autographs and kind of touting. He was talking about doing web series. Well, apparently he did it, and I sort of missed it, and I need to, it runs about 18 minutes long total, and I need to, like...
Let's watch it now, live cast.
I know. It's been on my list of things. So he's kind of run and done this web series... And apparently NBC, while apparently NBC owns the copyright on the name of the character, but Travis Ritchie owns the copyright on, like, the character, like, all the everything, you know, he kind of built that character. So he's allowed to keep all that stuff, but he can't use the name Inspector Space-Time. So it's like basically he called it, you know, an untitled web series about a space traveler who can also travel through time. It's sort of a joke.
Right.
Well, apparently the web series was fairly well received, and so now he was going to do a second season, and it sort of morphed into doing, like, this internet movie. And he's got enough interest that he's got Robert Picardo
friend
be
of
in
the
it.
Show.
Yep, and so Sylvester McCoy,
not friend of the show,
yeah, future friend of the show,
yeah, hopefully,
yeah, and who was, you know, a previous Doctor. On Doctor Who, so this and apparently they're going to call it the Inspector Chronicles. So I guess they get away using Inspector and not Inspector Space-Time. And yeah, but apparently because this has grown, it has it has gone beyond their efforts to just, you know, bootstrap a internet thing. They are looking to get some decent money to kind of, you know, take this to the next step, and they're running an indie.
What's their goal?
Campaign. That is a very good question. Funny you should ask that. Maybe I should click the link and find
you
out.
You should click and link and find
out. What was that something about? I don't know everything about something. I can't remember everything.
Yeah.
Go internet.
Are you gonna edit the podcast, Dan?
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
So well, what? It's gonna get edited. This part may not get edited out.
No.
Anyway, what they're looking for, $25,000. As we, which is not, you know, in the grand scheme of things,
that's
very
not
much
at all.
And as we record, they have 13 days left and $18,000 in the bank. So they only need
$7,000.
Another $7,000 to finish. And they have, you know, the standard, you know, $5, $10, you know,
Did you donate, Dan?
I haven't yet, but I am going to. They will not be getting $1,000 from me, but that's
okay. Come on, Dan. Just shell it out.
Oh, God. Did I not explain I was broke?
You're not broke.
I'm just...
You make more than I do.
I'm just deficit. See, Corey, the trick to earning... This is a financial tip for all our podcast listeners. The trick to not being broke is not your income. It's your output. So, that when you spend sense. More money than you have coming in... You are broke. So while, as you say, I make more money than you, I have also managed to spend more money. And hence, the brokenness. So anyway, out there, kids, if you want to be rich, spend less than you make.
Yeah.
There you go. You can email me, you can mail me $25 for that advice.
If you're looking for another interesting series, and this one actually has its funding for a third season.
Woo!
My son brought it to my attention. It was on, it's on Netflix, the first two seasons of it, and it's called VGHS. It's Video Game High School. And it's a really kind of a clever,
VGHS?
VGHS.
VG.
Video Game High School. And it's, basically, it's kind of takes place in this version of reality where, the video game players are kind of like, celebrities, like, you know, almost like sports stars, and people watch matches online, and they have like their rock star type people where it's like, look at one guy, he's like the best, called The Law.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have little shows about it and everything. And there's Video Game High School where only the elite get to go and hone their skills to become even better. And this one mm-hmm. guy, manages to get in, and you're following his story. And I think it's 5 or 6 episodes, mm-hmm. the first season, and I think the second season is the same. And we finished the first season, and my son's finished all of them. And I was like, it's kind of cute, and it's, you know, it's funny, and it's it's got a lot of little in-game references and stuff like that. And it's just, it's not all about, it centers around a first-person shooter that's kind of like Call of Duty,
yeah.
Or whatever. But, you know, there's people that are, like, at the school for drift racing mm-hmm. and Guitar Hero and fighting games and whatnot. So there's all
Animal
that stuff.
Crossing. In
there too. Yeah. I don't know. So, but there's all this stuff at this school, and you know, I wouldn't say it's like, you know, groundbreaking television, yeah, but it's pretty entertaining.
It's entertaining and appropriate for the 12 to 13 year old set.
41 year old set.
What were you? Huh?
Yeah. Oh. So anyway, it's worth watching, okay. and it's like there in Indiegogo. I think they were going for, I think it was $750,000 mm-hmm. or something, and they got $990,000.
Oh, wow.
They almost got $1 million, and yeah. I was like, "Phew!" You know, and so they're doing a third season.
Doing good.
Yeah, and it's got some pretty decent production value, because it's like when they're playing the game, it's not like Machinima where it's like
their
character.
Yeah.
It's actually them in like the video game world,
cool,
as their character, and so you get to see them actually play it out, and it's a little more dramatic and it's funny.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Corey. Here's another life tip for you. Is like, you don't ever have to admit liking this because you have a son. You see, you go, oh well, I watched it for my kids.
Like Power Rangers.
Yeah. See, Corey, it was for your kid.
It was for my kid.
See,
there but I wound go. Up liking it better than he did. He still wanted to go back and watch SpongeBob, and I wanted to watch real people, and real people were on Power Rangers, and I could watch that with my son.
Have you taken all your medications today, Corey?
No,
that's what I thought. I could tell. Oh, well. So so one of the last things I have is another, you know, Facebook plug.
Okay.
Is the Tivoli has announced. The Tivoli's a local St. Louis theater that's kind of an indie theater, even though they do show some mainstream movies.
Right.
They've released their summer midnight movie blocks, which is a annual event here, because usually they have some pretty deep, like, what they do is they go to the back catalog of movies, and they show older movies on the big screen that you know, like myself, or some of them I've never seen on the big screen, and you haven't been able to see in like decades, and they're pretty decent. It's like this year, I won't go through the whole list, but they're doing my neighbor. It's one of the more popular animes. My Neighbor Totoro. I was looking it up online. Apparently, it's a fairly popular anime. You know,
somebody's screaming
T-O-T-O-R-O. Yeah, no kidding. But anyway, on the just for the the nerd set, probably an easier for me to pronounce movie is the Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah.
Is going to be showing May 9th and 10th. And they're doing Grindhouse, which I know we have a lot of horror fans out there.
Grindhouse was one of those movies. Everybody seems to like Death Proof, mm-hmm. which is the second movie with the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the movie in the theater with a full audience, mm-hmm. and everybody loved
Planet Terror.
Nobody. Everybody was laughing their head off and having a great time. Then they had the trailers in between. Everybody mm-hmm. was laughing at the funny trailers and everything. And then Death Proof came on, and everybody was waiting, and the theater was quiet. the last hour and 10 minutes of that movie was just dead silence.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was, I did not enjoy that movie, the second part of that movie at all.
Interesting. Oh, I'm not into horror anyway, so I will not be really going to see
Planet Terror. Is
well, I was going to say, yeah, I won't be going to see it. But anyway, they're doing Repo, the Genetic Opera, which that's, I know you, oh, you saw.
That was good.
And then...
we've interviewed some people from that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Die Hard, which maybe not necessarily a nerdy thing, but a perennial favorite of Corey and I.
Definitely.
And then, you know, they're also doing, you know, Lost Boys, Eraserhead, Caddyshack. To kind of round out the...
Harold Ramis.
Which is exactly why. They even said it on their thing that they were scooting that in there because of, you know... Which probably we haven't done a podcast since then. But yeah, Harold Ramis died, you know, everyone, I think is most visibly known for his work in Blockbuster. But once you start... what is wrong with me today?
Ghostbusters, dude.
Blockbuster?
Yeah, he worked at Blockbuster Video.
You can go to Blockbuster Video and rent
Econ and Ghostbusters.
And rent a VHS of Ghostbusters. Apparently, I'm having like a seizure. So, so he's probably most visibly known as that. But like when you start like scratching below the surface, he has been involved in a ton of stuff, like iconic. Yeah. You know, he wrote and directed Caddyshack, isn't that right?
I know he directed.
He directed
it.
Caddyshack. Yeah, it's like he wrote and directed like a ton of stuff that you're like, wow, I didn't realize that. Yeah, it was a lot of the
Groundhog Day.
Seminal comedies of the 80s and 90s he had a lot to do with them.
I'm not sure, but I think he was also, I know he was in Stripes. I know he acted Stripes.
He at least co-wrote Stripes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. A lot of the, yeah. And it's like, in fact, even like, up until, you know, even in the 2000s, he was like directing. He like directed some episodes of The Office. He, you know.
Yeah. Del Toro. Yeah.
Thank you. So, yeah, it's like. And usually they, I noticed the Tivoli will tend to do two sets. They'll like do one in the spring, summer, and then they tend to have one like in the late summer, fall.
Yeah.
So the only trick with these is they are midnight movies. So they start at 11:55 p.m. and you don't wind up getting out of there until like 2 a.m. So if you're sort of a day walker, it can be a little tough on Friday and Saturday, you know.
Yeah.
If you're a little younger, you're like, what? Midnight? That's when the good stuff happens. So yeah, it's kind of an interesting little thing. And if you'd like to see more things like that, you should follow us on our Facebook page.
That's right. Dan is a fan of our Facebook page.
I am. I'm not only a fan. I'm not only the CEO of the Facebook page. I'm also a member.
He's also a client. So.
Oh, and the nerdy events page on our website. I've added a bunch of stuff. There's Star Clipper. I think in relation to Comic-Con coming up is having a lot of signings and appearances by, you know, well-known and lesser-known comic book artists and writers.
Right.
They're having a girls' night on the 12th, where they're getting a lot of female comic book writers and illustrators coming to their shop, and they're having like a whole evening. They're gonna have like, you know, discounts and have a little panel and a signing and stuff in their shop. So go to the nerdy events page to see all that. And I've added various things, and then I think the other thing is Project Comic Con, which is a big comic book kind of a local convention. Yeah. They canceled for the this year. They're apparently it was the two of them that were two friends that were sort of like running the whole thing. They were doing almost everything, and I guess they've had some family issues, and you know, and as everyone, you know, stuff comes up, and they just haven't been able to get it all going for this year. And you know, like our our other favorite show in St. Louis, Contamination, had to take a year off. So, you know, it happens.
Yep.
Yeah, but overall, you know, go to our Facebook page. I post stuff there. I post stuff there more often than we podcast. I like that.
There you go.
So, Corey, you got anything else for this fun-packed return to podcasting?
Nothing is springing to mind.
Well, and if anything does, you should save it for next week, and maybe we'll podcast again.
Well, I'm going to Florida next Sunday, folks.
Oh.
This time next week, I will be in Florida. So
Floridia. Well, there you go. So we're going to get on Skype.
Yeah.
And not podcast.
And not podcast.
So anyway.
You can talk to my mom.
Well, that's always a treat.
Yeah.
I really like your mom.
I know you do. That's why you want to stay with her instead of go pin hunting.
Yeah, great. All right.
That's going to be a whole podcast of its own.
And I'm going to Florida in July.
The pin hunting adventures of Dan and intern Tina.
Oh,
or God. Tina Sabi. Whatever she is now.
Whatever she is now. Who knows?
He goes, I defend Tina Sabi, but she's going to make me go pin hunting. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, whatever. Slave Tina. Let's go.
Oh, whoa. Bringing out the fighting words.
Yeah, well, I'm feeling pretty safe now. The allergy season's upon us, so as Corey knows, that's a very draining experience.
Yes.
I think I'm safe for a couple days.
Yeah.
So anyway, podcast again in the near future.
Yeah, you might get two with some crossover information.
Yeah, I was gonna say we'll work on it. Maybe I'll put together some stuff from next week from some previous podcasts. I've been having a thought to put some of our interviews together and do some different things, some of our previous interviews. So maybe if I get all crazy and active, we'll get something like that going. So anyway, Corey, in the meantime, between podcasts, where could the fine people find us? Or did you forget how to do that part also? Well, that is true.
At home.
That is true.
They can find us online
at
thenerdytimes.com.
That's right.
Or is it nerdytimes.com? I never go there.
Nerdy. Wow. Corey, I've noticed. The website is www.nerdytimes.com.
You can reach us at info@nerdytimes.com.
That's right. Look at that email.
Email, that's right. Find us on iTunes.
You can.
Yeah. And you can find us at Facebook, which is Dan's only plugged once this entire
time. I know. I plugged it once, but it was 10 ones.
Yeah, 10 once.
Multiple onces. And that is facebook.com/nerdytimes.
That's right.
And on Twitter.
Twitter.
The Nerdy Times, because somebody already had Nerdy Times, bastards.
Might be me. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it was an old video game podcast I found. Okay. So, but anyway, and maybe soon to be on YouTube.
That's right.
You won't actually see us, but we'll be on YouTube. So anyway, if you would like to get a hold of us, you can do all that there.
Yep.
And I think otherwise, we are going to end this monstrosity.
Yep. It's only been 54 minutes.
I know. People. We managed to get an hour anyway.
That's right.
We can ramble. Anyway, so have a good week.
Have a good week.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. How do we start the show?